Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5, and we'll have our second lesson on the Apostle Peter. As we've mentioned before, Peter is that apostle that is first in all the list, and every one of the list of all the 12 apostles, he is always the first one that is listed. And so we began our study, our study with him, Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. We just give another account or another incident here in the life of Peter. It says, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And he was astonished at all, and all that was with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, this is a great passage of Scripture. I wish just to stay right here tonight and talk about this one particular thing. I'll point out one thing to you here in the passage. The Lord tells Peter to launch out into the deep and to let down his nets. That's a plural. And you'll notice up in verse number 5, he said, "At thy word I will let down the net," singular. And so there's a little discrepancy there. Peter said, "We'll do it, but we're not going to do it wholeheartedly. We've fished all the day and all the night. We've taken nothing. We're tired. We're cleaning our nets, and we'll just let one of them down." And, of course, we know the story here that we read. So the Apostle Peter is a great man to study in the Scripture. All the apostles are men that were chosen out by the Lord himself. He took them and drew them out from all the disciples that were following him. And we noticed last week and the week before even and again tonight that the apostles of the Lord were a great variety of different kinds of people. You had fishermen like we read tonight. You have Matthew, the tax collector. You have those that were married. You have those that were single. And they were all called out by the Lord and then were sent out as apostles. And this one tonight that we're studying, the second lesson is on the Apostle Peter. And last week we noticed that he was just a normal person. We find ourselves in him so many times. We find that we can identify with Peter, even in this incident we read tonight. We can identify of not doing exactly, wholeheartedly, totally everything the Lord tells us to do, but yet desiring to follow the Lord. We can identify with Peter sometimes with his boastings, and sometimes with the statements that he said, "I will never do this." And we can identify with all the failures that Peter had. But also, I'm glad we can identify with some of the blessings and the victories that Peter had in his life. He was a man of great faith. He loved the Lord. I don't think there was ever any doubt of Peter's love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter may have spoken out of turn sometimes, and Peter may have said things that he shouldn't have said, but I don't believe anybody ever doubted that he loved his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He became a great preacher. We have some of the messages recorded in the Scripture, some of the words that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and some of the other times that he stood before multitudes and preached. And he became a great preacher after going through some of the problems of his life. We noticed last week that he had a right beginning, because he answered the call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one of John the Baptist, one of his disciples, and then he answers the call to follow the Lord. And we find that he continually surrendered to do things, and sometimes out of time, out of place, but always willing, because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we'll take up a different, maybe a little different focus upon the life of Peter. We'll get to the time after the resurrection. There's Peter's life can be divided into many different areas. Sometimes those before the days, early times of his walk with the Lord, his times there close to the Lord in many occurrences and many things that they went through. And then, of course, after the day of Pentecost, how that the Lord used him after resurrection time. But I believe we find the heart of Peter tonight. We'll look at the things that was interesting to Peter, what Peter wanted to do, and how he served and what he did. We find that certainly he had a hunger to know God. He had a desire to get in the right place at the right time. And we find that even a fisherman can be excited about the Lord. Sometimes we think the only people ought to be excited are preachers. Well, anybody can be excited, and I believe everybody should be excited for what Christ has done for them and how he's blessed them. And doesn't matter what walk of life that we may find ourselves, we can certainly rejoice in the Lord, and we can find that we can be excited about God and excited about the things of Jesus Christ. And so when we understand the greatness of our God, when we understand the blessings of the Lord to us, we can certainly enjoy the things of the Lord. Even common people, put here, even carpenters and builders and rubbish men and fishermen, you name it, anybody can get excited about God. When the Lord enters your heart, that'll make you excited. When the Lord changes your life, does something for you that no one else could ever do, we find that there is excitement and joy in knowing Christ. I believe the Apostle Peter had heard John the Baptist preach. I believe he had seen some of the things that were going on in his life. In Acts chapter number 2, Peter begins to preach to those that had crucified the Lord, and or after the crucifixion, Acts chapter 2, the sermon there on the day of Pentecost, he preaches, and a lover of the Old Testament, a lover of the Word of God, a lover of the message that God had for him. And he simply was wanting to desire more to know of the Lord and to do what God wanted him to do. I believe we ought to have that same desire in our heart, just to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, just to know he has a plan for our life and to know that we can follow that plan. It's not a plan that he tries to hide from us. If the Lord wants us, has a plan for us, he certainly wants us to know what it is. He doesn't hide his will from us. Sometimes folks have such a difficult time in their personal life of knowing the will of the Lord. But I believe that difficulty doesn't fall on the Lord's shoulders. I believe it falls on our shoulders. And maybe goes back to some of the things mentioned this morning, that sometimes we just don't listen to what God says to us and what he has for us to do. We should have certain things in our life that we desire to work and to serve the Lord. Ought to have goals as a Christian. Ought to have a message that we proclaim with our personal life, a message that we proclaim with our testimony, and just to have a goal to influence people for the good of the Lord and for the message that he has given to us, that an individual can be saved. Again, doesn't matter who they are, they can be born again by the Spirit of the Lord. One great example that we have in history is the man by the name of William Tyndale. He had a goal in life that he wanted to make sure that everybody had a copy of the Word of God. And so therefore we hear the story and know the story of William Tyndale, how that his goal was that every plowboy would have a copy of the Bible in his language and could know more than even the bishops of Rome. And that literally did come true, simply because he had that desire and that goal that had been put upon his life by the Lord. And now we have numerous copies of God's Word around this world. And so we thank God for the privilege of being able to to know Him, and to know Him personally, and then to know Him intimately. And I believe Peter certainly saw that God realized that God was an intimate God with him, and that he desired to do something special in Peter's life. Andrew heard the Lord first, and when he goes to Peter, he said, "We found the Messiah. We really believe this is the one whom we're looking for. John the Baptist has been preaching that he's coming." John the Baptist had been giving the story that the Lamb of God was on his way, and maybe even Peter might have been there when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But we find here that Andrew, his brother, heard the message, and Peter, who was maybe even busy that day, he went and he realized that Messiah was there, and he went to hear the Lord, and he had the message from God. And from that moment on, Peter began to follow Jesus Christ. What a tremendous life he has. What a tremendous story that is given to us in the Scripture about the life of Peter. Now, we don't have time to go into every detail, not in one or two lessons, because the Scriptures have much to say about this man by the name of Simon Peter. And look in Matthew chapter number 4, and we'll just recount look at this passage where that he is told and given to us the message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him." There's another incident of leaving their nets behind and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter is always, and he's always called, and I believe he was probably the leader of the apostles. He was the spokesman, and he was the one that usually said his thoughts, and sometimes he shouldn't have, but he maybe didn't set out to do that, but that was his personality. And you see, God uses us for the personality we have. Every one of us tonight have a different demeanor or a different personality about us. And God can use us with how he's made us. One of the worst things that a person can do is try to get out of their little circle and what they're comfortable with. I believe God can use us in our comfort zone. Now, there's sometimes he wants us to get out of that comfort zone, but he can use us very good and very much where we are comfortable with who we are talking to and who we are dealing with. There are some people that you can talk to that they wouldn't want to talk to me. There are some people that I can talk to that wouldn't want to talk to you, and they wouldn't hear. But God uses us for who we are. God uses us in our personality and our way of life and our emotional makeup that he has given to us. And I believe that is how God used Peter. And Peter was happy to follow the Lord. He desired to do that. He left his nets more than once to follow. And he didn't just stand on the sideline and wonder what was going to take place. Peter was always busy and always active in the things of the Lord. And he was always there doing what the Lord would had for him. And sometimes we just need to get in the place where God can use us. Find out where that is and start and take a step or two and to realize that God does bless and God does help us. Sometimes we have fear maybe of talking to folks about the Lord. We can talk to them about the basketball games. We can talk to them about everything else. But the most important thing, sometimes we have a difficult time talking about the Lord. And so we find that we ought to follow the Lord. We ought to be happy in doing that. And as we exercise the things that God gives us, then it becomes easier for us to do what he has for us. But it does take some exercising the abilities that God has bestowed upon all of us. He has given to the church. The Bible says he gave the church first apostles and prophets and teachers and preachers and pastors and evangelists. And all those different offices are given for the Scripture says in Ephesians, for the edifying or the building up of the saints. And and to build up us in the faith of the Son of God. And so if the Lord has saved you, he may not make you a Peter, but he can make you who you are. He may not make you somebody that would be written about, but he can make you somebody that can be used in his work and be happy in serving the Lord. There are folks that are reachable by certain age groups that not reachable by maybe my age group. There are teenagers that can be reached by teenagers, and there are younger folks and young adults that can be reached by young adults, and you go on up the line. And so we ought to be happy where God has put us and the place that God has given to us. We ought to be happy just that we can serve the Lord, because one day he called us by his grace and we have followed him. In the life of Peter, you'll find that he was always a helper. He was had a servant's heart. You'll find the feeding of the 5,000 put out there. It wasn't any picnic. That was not a picnic. That's setting down on the grounds and feeding 5,000 people. That was a job. And the disciples were active in doing that along with Peter and all the others. And then you have the feeding of the 4,000. That's a different incident, a different time. And the disciples were involved in that. Did they get tired? Of course they did. Do we get tired in serving? Do we get tired in doing the things that God has for us? Sure we do. But it is a joy to be able to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Do we get tired of sometimes the difficult situations that arise? Yes, we do. Do we get tired of the folks that are maybe around us, they especially in the job force, they mock and sometimes make fun of a Christian? Do we get tired of that? Sure we do. But it's still our joy to serve the Lord. It's our pleasure to be a servant of God, to be helpful in telling people about our personal Savior. Look in Luke chapter number 22. We're just going to turn a few places tonight about the life of Peter. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 32. Here the Lord has predicted Peter's denial. And he says, Simon, Simon. Now, just on a side note there, anytime you find the Lord calling somebody's name twice, he wants their attention. And you'll find that the Lord did that on a number of occasions. He said, Martha, Martha. And here he says, Simon, Simon. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Well, that's the actions of the devil. He just wants to shake us. He wants to take us and put us in the sifter and just toss us to and fro. And that's exactly what the devil had in store for Peter. But notice the next verse, verse 32, what a tremendous verse it is. Notice he wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted or changed, strengthen the brethren. The Lord says when there's a change come over your life, that word converted there, it's not talking about salvation, but it's a change of his ways. And when thou art converted, when you're changed, Peter, you're going to be one that can strengthen the brethren. And certainly he is a strengthener. You read the scriptures of Simon Peter, and the actions and the things that he did. You read the book of 1 and 2 Peter. Those are books that will strengthen the people of God. And the Lord says, I have prayed for you. And he wants you to be able not just to be, not to lead, but just to strengthen those around. Peter was that man that ends up in Babylon. He ends up as an individual. Paul, he dies in Rome, and Peter, at one time, I put the passage here, Acts chapter 10, and Peter goes and preaches there to some of the Gentiles. They fall down his feet and began to worship him, and he said, no, I'm just a man like you are. So Peter didn't want the attention. He certainly knew better than to be worshiped. Acts chapter 10, verse 25 and 26 is the passage. Peter comes to Cornelius and says, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. I'm not a god. You don't worship me. You don't bow down to me. Now, that's a whole lot different than what some people tell us that Peter was used for, and how he was as a first pope or something. Peter said, no, you're not going to worship me because I'm a man just like you are. And, of course, the Roman church tells us that Peter was the first pope. There's no indication that Peter was ever in Rome. And, of course, he was married, for the Lord helped his wife's mother, or his mother-in-law, helped her in sickness, and so we know he was married. He doesn't fit the criteria, and certainly he desired that he was not going to be worshipped. And we hear him say, get up, stand up on your feet, for I am a man like you are. He realized that the only person to be worshipped was the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore that was the message that he preached. Now, over in Matthew chapter number 16, we have familiar verses of Scripture here. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 on down through 18, these are the verses where Jesus asked the question, whom do men say that I am? Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, we'll read these verses together. And we notice here the statement of Peter. In Matthew 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So they had all kind of things being said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody had their opinion who the Lord was. Well, Lord, some people say you're John the Baptist. It's come back. Even Herod thought it was John. He was John the Baptist and bothered him. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're one of the prophets. Some say that you're Isaiah. And here in Matthew 16, these are the popular opinions of who Jesus was. And verse 15 says, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? It's important that it's not just what the world perceives of me, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, immediately he spoke, and he told them, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a tremendous confession of the faith. That who he was and who Peter knew that he was. Peter was the first up of all the disciples. Now, the others said, well, some say you're Jeremiah. Now, they could have said, but we know you're not. Some say you're John the Baptist, but we know that you're not. But they just simply said, well, some say you're Jeremiah, some Elias and Isaiah, or one of the prophets. They really don't know who you are. But Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And immediately Peter jumps and he says, thou art the Christ, the Christ. That means we're only one like him. He's the Messiah. Now, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you fellows have been with me for 3 years. Who am I? Do you know who I am? And Peter gave this confession. Notice verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood I hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, John the Baptist come back from the dead. That's what some think. Some say, oh, you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. But Peter said, you're Messiah. You're the one that we've looked for. You're the one that that we have longed for. You're the one that has fulfilled all the prophecies that these other men have given us, the prophets. And it is you that is the Messiah, the promised one, who would come and take care of the needs that we have. And Peter didn't understand all that what Jesus was going to do, but he knew it was the Messiah. Peter didn't understand that the Lord was going to die. Peter refused to accept that Jesus would be crucified for those many days. But finally he did understand that. But at first he refused it because he said, you're Messiah. You're the one that we've looked for. I was listening to a program this afternoon. It was a group of Messianic Jews or believing Jews. Boy, I enjoyed that, just to hear them talk about their Messiah, and how that they they still did some of the things of the Old Testament and had their they were Jews, they were the customs that they went through, and they did some of the explaining of what it all meant. And one fellow, he was in the in the line of being a priest, and he said, "My whole life changed when Messiah came in." Now we say Jesus, that's the Gentile term, but when they talk about the Lord, they talk about Messiah. And Peter said, "Lord, you're the Messiah. You are the one, and we know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." That meant he's the son of man by the name of Jonah. He said, "Blessed are you because flesh and blood hasn't given you that. You've gotten that from my Father." He didn't go to any school to learn it. He didn't go through a catechism. He wasn't taught that. He just realized by all the things that had taken place in his life, he realized that the Father had illuminated his mind and Jesus Christ was the one that they'd look for. And he went about saying, "You are the one." And Peter was that disciple that used his ability that God had given him and began to proclaim that, especially after the resurrection, concerning who the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was that that man that was so very instrumental in so many coming to know the Lord. Turn over to John chapter number 6 for a moment. John chapter chapter number 6. Verse 66, it says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" Here his disciples, that group that were following the Lord, many of them have now departed. They've had a test and they didn't desire it, so they depart the Lord. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he said, "Are you going to leave too?" And notice the answer that Peter gave. Verse 68. "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Here again, Peter makes his confession. "Thou art that Christ. You're the one. You are the Son of the living God. We believe and we are sure." Now, there's a lot of people that believe certain things, but they're not too sure about it. There's a lot of folks that have a head knowledge, but they're just not real sure. It's possible it might be something else. But Peter said, "We believe and we are sure that you're that Christ. You're that Messiah." And he said, "Lord, if we leave, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? Is there anybody any better? Is there anybody any greater? Is there anybody that can help us more than you? So if we leave, where are we going? We know, we're sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a confession of faith that Peter continually made for the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter was sold out to God, it still did not change the fact that he had difficulties. It did not change the fact that he had problems understanding what was going to take place. We've read before how that Peter said, "Lord, you're not going to die. I'll not permit that." Peter didn't understand. He had problems understanding all those things. He saw all the miracles. He could deal with that. He saw all the great things that Jesus had done. He had even seen that Jesus could raise the dead, and he could make the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He could see that when those men tore off the roof of the temple or the synagogue, and they let that man down, and Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk. He saw all that, and he believed that. He understood. But it was beyond his comprehension that his Messiah was going to have to die. It was beyond his understanding that this man that has done all these things, and we are assuredly we know that he is Messiah. Peter had a hard time taking that and understanding it, and Satan used that against him. You know, sometimes our doubts that we have, the devil certainly knows how to use them. He knows how to use them against us. He knows how to twist and turn. And Peter had some issues. Peter had some weaknesses. And Peter had those thoughts that just were not right. And the devil would use that. And the Lord at one time said, "Get behind me, Satan." He's talking to Peter. He told him there where we read a while ago, "Satan desires to sift you." You can rest assured tonight that the devil knows your weaknesses. He doesn't know everything, but he knows our weaknesses, because we've probably told enough people, we've said it enough, and the devil knows what our weaknesses are, and he can put that stumbling block in front of us. But Peter understood, Peter knew that he was Messiah, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved him deeply, was above all, and as time would progress, Jesus would give him the understanding that he must die, that he must go to Calvary, that he must shed his blood so that they could go into all the world and preach the gospel. For the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If Jesus had come and just set up a kingdom, there would have been no gospel. But Jesus came to die, and therefore rose again, and now he sends his disciples into all the world to preach the gospel. I believe as we read the life of Peter, you'll find that he had a heart that was very open to the Lord. I believe he was a very kind individual. He could be harsh, he could be stern, but I believe he was one that could be reached very easily. Look in Luke chapter number 22, and we'll find here this passage concerning Peter and his denial of the Lord. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 60, this portion of Scripture begins back in verse 54, where they took him away and brought him to the high priest, and Peter, he's falling afar off. Who else are we going to go to? But he follows afar off, and he's fearful. And he has denied the Lord. In verse number 60, Peter makes this statement: "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Well, what an incident. He's denied the Lord. Here's the third time. One of the accounts tells us that he even cursed. He said, "I don't know him." And that old rooster crows again. And immediately the Scripture says here that while he spake, this rooster crows and Peter remembers. And the Lord's looked at him just simply, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Boy, can you imagine that look? And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now notice the heart of Peter in verse 62. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Heartbroken, defeated, discouraged. Probably feeling like he could never be used of God again. Have you ever been there? I'm sure all of us have. He is brokenhearted. He was a tough individual, but yet he had a soft heart. To be a fisherman, he had to be tough. He's a grown man, and here he is weeping and crying and brokenhearted over what has just happened, because he has remembered now the word of the Lord. He remembered that the Lord said, "Now, Peter, you're going to deny me." And Peter said, "Not me, Lord. I'll never deny you. Not me, Lord. I'll stand for you. When everybody else is gone, I'll stand for you." And Peter remembers what Jesus said. And the Bible says that he wept. Wept bitterly. Brokenhearted over that. I believe Peter's heart was heavy because of his own sin, his own life, and those things that would happen. Peter didn't want to. He didn't want to be remembered that way. He didn't want to be left alone. We find in John chapter 21, Peter didn't want to stand alone. He says to the Lord, there's a conversation there, and we'll not take time to turn to that one, but there's a conversation there, and Peter says, well, what are you going to do with John? And Jesus said, it's none of your business about John. What about you? Sometimes we're too interested in somebody else. What about us? And so we find that after all is said and done, the the crucifixion comes, and Jesus is alive. And we know that the Apostle Peter was spoken to by the Lord after the resurrection. And now we find in chapter 2 that Peter begins to preach upon that day of Pentecost. And what a great message it was. No longer is he fearful. No longer is he saying, I don't know him. No longer is he wanting to follow afar off. No longer is he saying, I have no business with him. But notice in chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and you'll notice that as you go on in verse number 14, it says, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Galilee, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. He's not too fearful right now. Changed. He's been converted. Not saved, but changed. His attitude, everything about him now is different because he sees Jesus, as we saw in our Sunday school this morning. Jesus said, you're not going to see me, then you're going to see me, and you're going to have joy. Peter experienced that. And now he's preaching here on this day, and he says, you need to hearken, have it being known unto you, and hearken to my words. He says in verse number 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that should be holden of it. Peter has a zeal now. He has a desire. And he says, you fellows, you're the ones that crucified. By wicked hands you took and destroyed the Lord of glory. Just a few days before that, he said, I don't know who he is. But now he's met the resurrected Christ. And ye men of Galilee, you know. Ye men of Israel, you know what you did. And this is one of the great messages recorded in the scripture. And how that from that time on, Peter began to preach. And he gave the message totally to folks. There in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day be examined of good deed done of an impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Same message. You took him. You were wicked. You was the one that took it. But in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this man stands here whole. Peter's not fearful now. He has a life of strong and desirous to stand for the Lord. The Bible says here in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were bold now. He was a weakling. He was a coward before. Now he's bold. He's been changed. And he says, or the scripture says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. Well, only an ignorant man would say those things. That's what they sometimes say about us. Only an archaic old fool would believe what we believe. Because we live in an enlightened age. We live in a day when we know better than that. Well, we know there's no such thing as creation. We have learned better. No, they've been deceived. We know the truth. But Peter says, you took him, you crucified, and they perceived that they were unlearned and they were ignorant. But they marveled that they've been with Jesus. That makes all the difference in the world. That makes a difference in my life. That makes a difference in your life, just to have a close relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go on and read the passage. We know the story of how they understood. They couldn't do much about that man that had been made whole, because everybody knew he was a man that had a need, and now he's been made whole. They couldn't deny the miracle. And so they said, we tell you, we're going to come up with a compromise. That's what the world always wants. Be interesting. Well, I'll go ahead and say it. It'll be interesting to see what the purpose-driven guy, what's his name? Rick Warren. It'd be interesting to see how he prays. I wonder if he'll pray in the name of Jesus. It'd be interesting when he prays there for the president on the inauguration. That'd probably be the only part I want to watch. But there's some time. Peter said here, here's the compromise. They said, now, we're going to let you go, but now don't you talk about Jesus anymore. That's just like the world. That's just like a sinner, especially when they got a little bit of authority. We're going to let you go, fellas, but now don't you speak anymore in the name of this man called Jesus. But notice here in verse 19, and John is just as responsible for this as Peter, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Praise the Lord. There are times, there is a time when we just need to say, doesn't matter if you think it's right or not, we're going to tell you what we know. We're going to tell you what we believe. We're going to tell you what the Scripture says. Doesn't matter what you think. And that's really what Peter and John said that day. Whether it be right in the sight of God, you judge it, but we're going to tell the world what Jesus did. And that should be the same message you and I have tonight, that we're going to tell the world what Christ has done for us. Well, he's made us a new creature. He's delivered us from hell. He's given us life eternal. So no matter what happens, we're going to live for God. So Peter certainly was a man of weakness, but he was a man. He was a man that was willing to stand when times had to be. And when he was changed in his life, he stands and says, we're going to preach the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what takes place. History tells us that when Peter was condemned to die, that he was condemned to be crucified. And all I know is what I've read about it, is that Peter asked that if he be crucified, that he certainly was not worthy to be crucified in the same way that his Savior was crucified. And so he requested that if he would be crucified, they would crucify him upside down, for he was not worthy to die the way that Jesus Christ had died. One of the great disciples of the Lord, the Apostle Peter. We laugh at him sometimes, we cry with him sometimes, but I'm glad we can rejoice with him also, and that he was a man that said, you're the Messiah. We know who you are. There's nowhere else to go. I have my sins, my failures. I repent in bitter tears of that. And then God remade him and used him in a tremendous way. And you ought to read every message in the Scripture of what Peter said. He always makes reference to the resurrection, for that changed his life. Of all the things that happened in his life, that made the difference in realizing that Jesus Christ truly was Messiah that I can follow, that I can believe, and if need be, die for, die with. A man called Peter. Simon Peter, son of Jonas. May God help us to be like Peter in all these areas. Even in weaknesses, he still was strong. Even in his faults and failures, he was easily touched. May God help us to have our heart touched by the Lord and broken if need be. Let's stand together tonight.